The second pattern?
The past 2 days were okay, but today many thoughts.
Yeah. Have you found out anything about, you know, what kind of thoughts we are going into?
I try hard, but the condition this weekend has been very, very difficult.
The conditioning? Mm. Or the bodily conditioning?
No. Ah. It was looking more as a village kermesse than a forest monastery.
What?
It was looking more as a village kermesse than a forest monastery.
Yeah, but that was 3 days ago, or yes. 2 days ago.
Yeah, but I wanted to work hard, mm-hmm. and my kuti, but I had a...
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that does happen sometimes.
I asked you permission to do it again Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday.
Why is it still here in November? I mean, I'm amazed about your sati. You don't notice anything. Hmm? Huh? I mean, sati is the most important thing. Hmm? How often did I talk about it? We run through the world without noticing anything. We're only running after our own ideas, huh? And while within our own ideas, we don't notice what is going on around us, huh? Huh? Isn't it? Yeah. Well, everybody remembers it, you know. I mean, when he was going out, you know, to shop for something, we only had that in mind what we wanted to shop, huh? Didn't realize the people, you know, around us, and we didn't realize what was going on. Huh? What? Was it different? Hmm? Pretty much. Hmm? I mean, we live in a world that we don't even notice. We live in our ideas. Huh? Doesn't it become clearer and clearer? And it's the same thing. Hmm? What distracts us? Distracts us in our practice. When we do the Buddha, I mean, look, what is the common denominator for our thoughts? In which direction are they going? Why can they still pull us out? There must be some interest. If you don't give any interest to these thoughts, that thought won't come. So, I mean, look, yeah? Find the common denominator, you know, and find what it is rooted in. Hmm? Hmm? What is it that you haven't seen in this life, that you still want to see? What is it, what you haven't done in this life, what you still want to do? Yeah? What you didn't hear, what you still want to hear? I mean, it's all about the senses, huh? What is there to eat, you know, what you haven't eaten before? Hmm? And how long was the satisfaction of all these things that you have done? How long did it last? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour? Yeah? Which country you still want to go to? Yeah? That you haven't seen? I mean, wherever you go, yeah? You see people. You see houses, you see trees, you see landscape, mountains, everywhere, rivers, meadows, everywhere it's the same. Huh? So why do we have to go to this country or that country? Why do we have to go to see this kind of people, that kind of people? Yeah? Look at the people. You know, the people have a head, you know, they have two arms and they have two feet, yeah? Then they have hair, yeah? I mean, so what is the difference? Where do you find this person interesting and that person not interesting? Yeah? This person ugly and that person not ugly. Where do you find this body ugly and this body not ugly? Yeah? But you find your the outside of your body beautiful and the inside loathsome, huh? I mean, these questions you should ask yourself, that you can't get, you know, can't get pulled out anymore. What is it that you still have to do? How many things have you done? Do you think there's an end of it? When you finished one work in your life, you know, wasn't there something else or 10 other things coming up that you still wanted to do? All the things that you crave, will go away, will vanish. Just like the castles that we build on the beach, Next time, you know, I'm in the, what is it called? The tide comes in, you know, it's gone. It's the same thing with everything. Whatever we build, you know, will vanish. Nothing is lasting. And the same holds true for our ego, for what we think is self. It constantly changes. And we constantly have to build it up. And it's hard work to build it up. Just rest yourself in samadhi for a few hours and then you will see. You have to build up what you call yourself. And that is so amazing. It's so hard work to do. And then we have to defend this. We have to defend an image that we create about ourselves. Are you not getting tired of this kind of work? Yes, so why do you do it? That's a good question. Yes, we are tired. We don't want to, you know. And especially we don't want to defend ourselves. We are the way we are. That's it. Put. Point. Or exclamation mark. I thought you wanted to come. But wrong information, huh?
No, he will come. He put his thermos back.
Is it so much fun to defend yourself? How much anger is produced when somebody says something that you don't believe? When somebody tells you you're stupid, You instantly, no, I'm not stupid. You constantly defend something, And this something is created every day. Every moment. Every moment we think about, and if it is an I thought, I mean, we create this image. And we try to uphold it. And that's the same thing with how we view the world. We only see what we want to see, or what is in our head. And we don't realize, what is going on around us. That's the same thing with our ego, with our view of ourselves. We only believe that's what we are, what we want to believe. And everything else, we don't want to be, although we are. Nobody wants to be a bad person, But we are a bad person. We have bad and we have good within us. Eh? Otherwise, yeah, if somebody comes up and says, I'm a good person, you know, I doubt it. Eh? I tell him he wouldn't be born if he would be a good person. Eh? I mean, we are born because of greed and hate. Eh? We are born because of good and bad. Can you sit a little bit in front so that you can sit there? We are born as any kind of being because we have good within us and evil. And that is one thing that we have to realize. When we think about ourselves, yeah, about the view of ourselves, we only see the good things. We don't want to see the bad things. And that, if we don't want to see the bad things, we can't get rid of it. Yeah? Just like, you know, we have a big heap of shit in front of our doors, yeah, we don't want to see it. So we can't remove it, or Dennis? No? It's there all the time. It stinks, it smells, but we don't want to look at it. Yeah. So we make a birch around it, you know, and go into our house. Yeah? And every day we do the same thing. Yeah. And in the end, we don't see it anymore. Yeah. And that is the same thing with us. Yeah. When we look at our... Yeah? Ask yourself, you know, after meditation, who do you think you are? Yeah? And then come up, you know, with all the things, and then look at them. Yeah? Mostly good things, yeah? And then ask yourself, huh? I mean, if I'm only this good, you know, I mean, why was I born? Huh? 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 There are so many bad things within us, yeah? But we don't want to see them. Just like the heap of shit in front of our house, we don't want to see it. And after years, we don't see it. It's really like that, yeah? The things that we don't want to see, after a while, you don't see it anymore. Hmm? Until somebody comes, you know, and tells you, hey, do you know, you guy, you know, I mean, there's a heap of shit in front of your house. And then you get really angry, yeah? Huh? Then no! Also, you know, if you would look, you would see it, yeah? That is how we fool us, that is how we deceive us, because we constantly live in our thoughts. We constantly live in our ideas, and now, even when we do our meditation practice, we don't want, yeah? We don't want to stay with the Buddha, or we don't want to stay with the breath, because there are more things that are interesting, yeah? All these plans that we have for the future, yeah? We die today and all the future is gone, huh? Now tomorrow I'm going to practice really hard and tonight we die. Yeah. There is no tomorrow. For us as practitioners, there is no tomorrow. There is just this one moment, yeah? In this one moment, we always have an excuse why we don't want to live in this one moment, huh? We want to think about something else, you know, and that is how we miss this one, this precious moment of our life. That's where we actually are alive and see what is going on. But we don't want to see it, yeah? Just like people, you know, who hide in the reality of these virtual games, yeah? Computer games or the internet. It's so much fun, you know? Such a waste of time, yeah? But that's what, you know, what is our life all about, isn't it? Yeah? We are born to kill the time until we die. I mean, we can kill the time, you know, in ways that are more helpful or in other ways that are not helpful. But from the moment we are born, we wait until we die. Some people try to do the best out of the situation, yeah? If they come in touch with the Buddha Sasana, and then they hear, okay, we are born, we die, and then we are born again. And that's not fun, you know. Let's find the way out, yeah. What is the way out? You know, the Lord Buddha told us. Sila Samadhi Panya. The fourth noble truth. But it's so fun to play, isn't it? On the internet. I mean, we can get lost. Yeah? Other people do golfing, other people do sports, you know. I mean, it doesn't really matter what kind of activity we use to kill the time, huh? Does it? All of these activities are completely useless, yeah? Because we don't gain anything from it. The only activity that is useful in our life is get the hell out of here. Huh? I mean, we are born as a human being, that is already difficult, don't think, yeah? And don't believe or don't trust that you are born as a human being in your next life. It is very seldom. The Lord Buddha said a human birth is hard to reach. Yeah? There are 31 different realms of existence, yeah? Become a human being, you know, is 1 out of 31, yeah? Much more likely is that most of the people anyway, most of the human beings anyway, will go to hell. That is the most likely cause, yeah? It's not me that says it, it's the Lord Buddha. You see that bull over there, how many horns does he have, yeah? These are the people who go to heaven or nibbana, yeah? And how many hairs does he have on his fur? Have you counted them one time? Millions, yeah? They are the ones who go to hell. Now think about, you know, I mean the population of England, 50 million or something like that, yeah? Huh? There's 5 million hairs, yeah? So from the 50 million, 10 people go... 100. 50. Yeah, 10 people. Ten or 20 people. Yeah? Very few, yeah? And here, you know, the chance in Thailand for the people to go to heaven, yeah, or Nibbana are much higher, yeah? The percentage is much higher than in the West, yeah? Think about all the rest. What do they do? Yeah? Be it Australia, America, you know, Europe, yeah? What are they doing? Yeah? Going after their pleasures, yeah? Don't think about other people, yeah? Lot of sexual misconduct, lot of greed, you know, hate, stealing, deceiving, yeah? Yeah? That's going on in our countries, yeah? And that's why we called ourselves civilized. Being civilized is making war in other countries, yeah, like Afghanistan, yeah, Iraq, yeah, now Syria, and later on, yeah, Iran, before it was Libya, yeah, and we participate, yeah, we are the good ones, yeah, we are the civilized ones, and that's because we are civilized, that's why we go very civilized to hell. I mean, this is, you see where the conceit leads to, yeah? It's a conceit, you know, we are the civilized one. There's only one civilized country in the whole world, and that is Thailand, yeah? Because it still has a valid religion. A religion that leads out of the path, yeah? Leads out of the samsara, leads out of the roller coaster of life. And that's Thailand, yeah? The only civilized country, yeah? People here have more chances, you know, to find the jumping block out than in any other country in the world. Yeah? Maybe some in Laos and some in Cambodia and some in Burma, yeah? Because it is still adjacent. Yeah? The borders are transparent, yeah? But anything else outside, yeah? So, I mean... Don't think about next life, you'll become a human being. You know, it is very difficult. I don't know where you're going, yeah? It depends on, yeah? It depends on the karma that you've done, yeah? So, I mean, if you're still young, you know, or even if you're old, from now on, you just do good karma. Yeah? In the West, we thought, you know, one good deed per day, yeah, was enough. Hey, it's better than nothing. But think about all the bad deeds that you do that day. Just say it, you know, I mean 500 bad deeds per day, one good deed per day, you know, gives you 500 years of hell to 1 year of heaven, yeah? Yeah? Is that what you want, yeah? One good deed per day is not enough, yeah? You constantly have to do good, yeah? You constantly have to develop the wholesome and let go of the unwholesome, yeah? Or we have to, you know, if we do something, you know, we have to stay within the realms of the five precepts. And that is sometimes not really easy. Yeah? But once you are determined, then it is easy. It becomes easy. From now on, I don't break the five precepts. No matter what, yeah? I mean, the precepts don't forbid you to eat something or to drink something or to sleep, yeah? So, I mean, what? Why not keep them, yeah? But they forbid you to take things that belong to others, yeah? Or by deceiving or by trick, by lying and things like that, yeah? In all our governments in the West, yeah? I mean, in the East they are probably not much better, but you know, I mean, in the West, you know, they just like it. They're deceiving us constantly. People have no choice. I think England is not as, yeah, it's in the same state, you know, as most of the European countries, yeah? A lot of jobless people. Yeah? America, same thing, yeah? 20% of the people don't have any income. And why? Because some of the people, you know, have so much, you know, and they want even more. They can't get enough, yeah? So coming back to self, yeah. You have to, if you create a self, you have to defend it. So just look, you know, just be. I'm the way I am, yeah? And then I don't have to defend anything. Yeah? I'm neither good nor am I bad, yeah? I'm just the way I am, yeah? If I see something, you know, within me that is unwholesome, I get rid of it. If I see something that is wholesome and I haven't yet developed it, I develop it. Yeah? That is the teaching of all the Buddhas. Yeah? Each Buddha teaches the same thing. Yeah? Develop the good, you know, and let go of the unwholesome. Yeah? And that is the path. And when we are in meditation, I mean, we really have to get one pointed, yeah? We really have to get into upacara samadhi, yeah? To see that there is something else, there's another reality, yeah? I mean, you can hear it, you can read it, you know, so often, and people describe it and are so happy when they reach it, yeah? But if I haven't reached it, you know, I mean, I still will go for all the deception in this world, yeah? Much better, yeah? Just stay here for a few months, you know, and then you will, all these things, you know, that you left back in the world, you know, will come and try to grab hold of you. If you have nothing better found than what the world can offer you. It's not my teaching, it's also the teaching of the Buddha. Yeah? He said that, yeah? If there wouldn't be something that is more satisfying and brings more happiness, yeah, than the world can offer, the world can offer happiness, yeah? It's not impossible. There is sukha and dukkha in this human life, yeah? Huh? It's not all dukkha. I mean, wrong understanding. There are quite a lot of wrong understandings in the West. Yeah? Dukkha being suffering. It's not suffering. Yeah? It's this ease of feeling comfortable. Yeah? So all these things, it's boredom, it's restlessness. Yeah? It's all, you know, when you're hungry, yeah? It's dukkha. When you're thirsty, it's dukkha. It's the first noble truth. When you're tired, it's dukkha. Yeah? It's not a comfortable feeling. That's why we go and sleep, yeah? If it would be comfortable, we wouldn't go to sleep, yeah? So tiredness is not comfortable, so it's dukkha, yeah? Hunger is not comfortable, so it's dukkha. Thirst is not comfortable, so it's dukkha. But people don't realize it if they translate it with suffering. It's not suffering. It includes suffering, yes, of course. So, I mean, if you don't understand the first noble truth, you can't get, you know, to the fourth noble truth. What is the origin of dukkha? It's our attachment to these things that we imagine to see. If you see something that you want, you know, I mean, it's attachment. You want it, yeah? If you see something that you dislike, you know, it's attachment. It's a negative attachment. You won't get rid of it, you know, it's also wanting, yeah? So, yeah? And that is the cause for our dukkha. Yeah? We want to get rid of it. Or we want it, yeah? And the path that leads to the end of dukkha is sila, samadhi and panya. So, sila are the five precepts, keeping the five precepts. Samadhi is the ability to concentrate on one point, be it the breath at the tip of the nose, knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out, or be it the mental repetition of the word Buddha, or be it the combination put with breathing in, do with breathing out. And we have to stick to that, yeah? That's where we can find peace and happiness. That's where we can enter a different realm of existence. Yeah? That's where we know that all the pleasures that the world can give us are nothing in comparison to the happiness that we can find in these moments when the kilesas are at peace or are at rest or are locked out. Yeah? Just you lock out your children because you don't want to hear their crying, yeah? But the moment you open the door, then they're all there, yeah? And they will constantly bother you. Yeah? And that is upachara samadhi. Access samadhi when our thoughts stop. Yeah? There are no more worries, there is no loneliness, there's nothing, there's no problem at all. We are contented. We are just contented. Does anybody even know what it means? Being completely contented, not wanting anything? No thought arises about what we need or what we want. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. And all what we need to do is just put our attention, bring our attention back to the breath or back to the Buddha. That's all what we need to do to find this happiness. But what is pulling us constantly out? Yeah? Of course it's the kilesas, yeah? They don't want that because they don't have power in that realm, yeah? That's why they pull you out and they know you better than you, yeah? Because they remember also the previous lives. They know all your good, you know, I mean, they know all everything what they can pull you with or what they can make you angry with. Yeah? Yeah? So they pull out these memories. You know, suddenly these memories come up and you get angry or you get lusty or you get this or that, yeah? Or greedy, yeah? You didn't think about this memory. Somebody pulled it out and showed you. Nice picture, isn't it? Just like a friend, you know, shows you a nice picture, yeah? Shows you a sex magazine. Oh, wow, look at this, you know? And then suddenly, whoop, comes up, yeah? So it's the kilesas, they show us something, you know, and suddenly, you know, our greed or our lust or our anger comes up. Hmm? But if we wouldn't have any interest, Michelle, in that, He wouldn't go out. He said, go back with your stuff, you know, just like your friend. Yeah? I'm not interested in drugs, I'm not interested in this. Yeah. If you just say it, you know, he comes again, you know, and you say it again, I'm not interested. After the 10th time, he doesn't come anymore. Yeah? But then he comes with something else. Yeah. He always finds something. He just needs to scan through our memories, you know, of our likes and dislikes, and then he brings them up. Yeah? You even haven't noticed them for 20 or 30 years, you know. But he knows them. The Kilesas know. Yeah? And that's what the trick is. Yeah? They know us better than anybody else. Yeah? And that's where they bring it out. Yeah? To lure us in. Yeah? Or to deceive us. And that's where we have to say, no interest, just like you say to your friend, no interest in this stuff. Yeah? And then just go back to the Buddha. And go back to the Buddha. Or go back to the breath. Yeah? What are the worries? Yeah? I mean, this is something, you know, what worries about the future. Yeah? What pulls us out very often? Hmm? Or feeling guilty about something that we've done in the past. The past is gone. The future hasn't come. Why should we worry about anything that we don't know? Hmm? Do you think the people who sit in an airplane, you know, they just plan their trip, you know, and the airplane crashes? What's the use of plan? Yeah? Or they go to the beach, you know, in December to Phuket, you know, and say, oh, it's a nice day for swimming, you know, and then a big wave comes, yeah? And that's the end of their day. Hmm? It can happen so fast. It can happen slowly, yeah? Why to worry about the things that are to come? Yeah? We only worry because when we worry only about bad things. Huh? What is the recipe? To do only good things and we don't have to worry. Yeah? We don't worry about that good things happen to us. We worry only about bad things that happen to us. And these worries are coming from the kilesas that bring up all our bad deeds and say, ah, see, you know, you didn't do it right, you didn't do that right, yeah? So maybe this is going to happen. Somebody is going to rob you. Somebody is going to, you know, to beat you up. Yeah? Somebody is going to kill you. Or somebody is going to torture you. What we have not done unto others, others will not do unto us. So karma is our best guarantee. Yeah? You can't change the karma that from the past, yeah? This will happen, so you don't have to worry about it. It comes or it doesn't come. Yeah? When it comes, you say, hello, there you are. Yeah? I've been awaiting. Huh? I mean, that would make life so easy. Yeah? If we would be able to trust in karma, to really have faith, you know, in the Buddha's teaching, that only the things will happen to us that we have done unto others. Yeah, and they will happen to us, no matter if you want them or not. You can't prevent them. Hmm? If somebody is cheating you, yeah, I mean, you say, okay, so what, yeah? And then you look in yourself, yeah, if you still have the tendency to cheat others, and then you get rid of the tendency, and then the karma will subside, yeah? We come a few more times, yeah? Less and less and less and less until nothing comes anymore. Because you stop doing it. Yeah? All the karma, you know, that comes to us, yeah, it still has the inclination within our heart to do the same thing again. And that's why we have to find out what kind of action, what kind of speech what kind of thought brings up this karma, and then to get rid of it, to root it out, to uproot it. And then we just receive the results of our karma, and then they are not strong anymore because we know we've rooted it out, yeah? And then our life would be worry-free. I mean, that is something that is fantastic, isn't it? No more worries, yeah? Do I have something to eat tomorrow? Yeah? What am I going to do, you know, when I'm old, yeah? When I can't move myself, when I can't feed myself, yeah? What is going to happen? All these questions are answered. Whatever will happen to us is our karma. Yeah? And then we will have to deal with the situation the moment it comes. Yeah? And because we know, I mean, if this life is over, then the next life comes. So, I mean, actually nothing has happened. Yeah? Not much of a big deal. Yeah? Yeah, I mean, if you have a car, you know, and it goes down, you know, I mean... You don't cry, oh, my poor car, you know. Put it on the scrapyard, you know, bury it, you know, and ask, you know, ask a priest to give a sermon for the car. Huh? No, you put it on the scrapyard and try to find a new car. Huh? Because the driver of the car never dies. The citta is the thing that never dies, yeah. It goes from one car, yeah, to the next, from one life to the next. Yeah? Sometimes it has a human body, sometimes an animal body, sometimes, you know, it is in the hell realms, and sometimes it has a deva body. Or sometimes it doesn't even have a body. It continues constantly, going from one realm to the other. And that's what the Lord Buddha saw. And that's what he wanted to stop. He said, no, I don't want to go up and down in this roller coaster. Yeah? Because if I go up, I have to go down, yeah? There's no constant up, you know? Everything is going to change, yeah? So the next time you go in a roller coaster, I mean, think about it. I mean, we like these fun rides, huh? Don't we, yeah? At least when we were young, yeah? We were excited and frightened at the same time when it went down. Isn't that amazing? So when it goes down, you know, it goes to a hell, and you're frightened and excited at the same time. Huh? When it goes up, we can't wait, yeah? Just like when we are born, we can't wait to get 18, you know, to do all these unwholesome things, yeah? That we plan to do, and that we can't do, you know, when we are not yet old enough. Yeah? You didn't think we have done unwholesome things, yeah? Done lots of, yeah? I wasn't a bad guy, but, you know, I've done lots of unwholesome things. Yeah? This little lie, this little sexual misconduct, this little thing, this little that, yeah? I haven't been truthful all my life, yeah? I haven't been, you know, a person within the five precepts, yeah? Because nobody taught me the five precepts, huh? See? If I had somebody, if I would have been raised in Thailand, but my merit was not good enough, yeah? See? The merit wasn't good enough to be born in Thailand, yeah? Just like all these Kuba Achans, you know, who were born here, you know, and were raised with the Dhamma in their house. We were born in another country that was far away from Dhamma and only knew greed and hate. And that's where we were raised, yeah? And we were born into this country because of our karma. Yeah? But most of us also had some good karma, yeah? I mean, they weren't born in these countries and as poor people, but as people who had enough. Yeah? That was our good karma. Yeah? But our respect and our attitude towards the Dhamma was not enough to be born here in Thailand. Hello, everybody. Yeah? We need respect. We need generosity. You know, and we need gratitude. Yeah? And when you look at our countries, yeah, where is their generosity? Where there is respect? And where is their gratitude? Yeah. When I talk about generosity, I'm not talking about, you know, helping another person when we think it is proper. Yeah. That is not really generosity. Generosity is the joy of giving. Yeah? No matter, you know, if it is useful or not. Yeah. According to our views, yeah? Just giving. Yeah? If we feel like giving, then we give. Yeah? No, we calculate, yeah. Especially in the West, yeah. I mean, if something happens, you know, I mean, Germans, you know, if something happens in another country, they're ready to give, yeah. If something happens in their own country, they don't give. Huh? And it's probably the same in other countries as well, yeah? England, United States, and so on. Yeah? They give something, you know, if happens something in the other countries, yeah? But they won't give, you know. Oh, yeah, because we live in this country, we can do it, you know. I can look after myself, so they should be looking after themselves. But if it's another country, I mean, it's something different. Yeah? So that is not called generosity. And that's why we were born there. Yeah? No respect for the Dhamma. Yeah. Look at us, you know. I mean, conceit is number one problem in the West. Yeah. I know this. I know that. You know, I've studied this. Yeah. For this year. Yeah. Or I've learned it. Yeah. I know better than you. Yeah. That's conceit. Yeah. And conceit has no place when we learn Dhamma. And now even, you know, when Buddhism comes to the West, yeah, I mean, they just study it, yeah? And who is clever in studying, you know, I mean, yeah. So, I guess it's enough for today, yeah? I covered all the most important subjects, yeah? So find out, you know, stay with your Buddha or stay with the breath and find out, you know, with what the kilesas can pull you out, yeah? Constantly. Yeah? And then cut the root off, yeah? They're not interested, yeah, in your stuff. Future has not come. Yeah? I don't need to worry. I mean, I rely on my karma. What bigger hope can you have? You know, relying on the karma, yeah? I mean, if we have made it to a place like this, you know, I mean, we do have some good karma in us, yeah? So, let's rely on the karma that we have, yeah? And just see what's happening. Maybe I get something to eat, maybe I don't get something to eat, yeah? Maybe I become sick, really sick, or I don't become really sick, yeah? It's all up to our karma. So leave it to the karma. It will handle itself. You don't have to worry about that. And that makes life so easy. Why should we make life... It is already, you know, hard enough. Why should we make it harder? Worry about anything that has not happened yet. And even if we worry about it, we can't change it. We worry about somebody is going to rob us, you know, or somebody to torture us, yeah? It doesn't help that we don't get tortured. Oh? Then it makes it even worse, you know, when it comes, oh no, now they are really torturing me. Yeah? Or they're really killing me, or they're really beating me up, yeah? Hmm? I mean, trust in your karma, yeah? And hope that it's good, you know, and if it is not, you can change it from this moment on. You can change the karma. Yeah? From now on you do a lot of wholesome good karma. Yeah? Be nice, be friendly to people, yeah? Be generous, yeah? Be respectful. All these things. Yeah? We love these things, you know. We love if people are respectful towards us, don't we? Yeah? Yes. Yeah? Do like it. Yeah? So, if we like it, then we should do it to others. But this we don't like. Huh? Bowing our head. Look at the Thais, you know, when they greet each other. Huh? Bow their head. Yeah? Fold their hands. Yeah? Even though, you know, some of them don't mean it, but they still have the gesture. I mean, yes, I mean, people are people, humans are humans. Yeah? But mostly in when they come to the monastery, I mean, they are okay. They mean it. So, any questions?
Well, again, I have questions to say. It's about a lot of thinking are most reflection.
Yeah?
But they come at the wrong moment when we want to be one-pointed.
Yes?
But they are reflection.
Yes? But it doesn't matter. Yeah? You just say not now.
Yeah. Especially like when they really like to come.
Yeah. I mean the moment
you're thinking.
Yeah. The moment you really get into concentration, then they pull you out, yeah? I mean most of the people can pull out easily, yeah. The ones who practice a lot, you know, can be pulled out harder. So they show you something. I mean, sometimes, you know, a super picture comes up. Sometimes, you know, oh, that's a deep... And then they tell you it's a deep insight. Yeah, you should look at it. Yeah. But it's distraction. I can look at it later because now I'm doing my samadhi. Yeah.
Especially that some years ago, I said to myself that now... this hardware has been programmed for about 64 years, you know, and in our country, not in good things, you know, and so I have to deprogram it,
yeah.
Program it again in a good way. So now I have to work on programming the for any way, which is. About Dhamma, and
It's working quite well. Yes, it's working, but now you have the problem with the program. Yeah? I mean, if you would have understood that the Lord Buddha talked about Nibbana as the unconditioned...
It's one step. It's a step which has been systemically practiced.
Yeah, but, I mean, we still can replace. I mean, that is a method, yeah? But to program ourselves, that is difficult. We won't have any problems when we replace anything that is unwholesome with something that is wholesome. It's not a program in itself. Yeah?
But you are not quite pointing yet on the desert anyway.
Well, now you have to unprogram yourself. Yeah?
No, I have to take one more step.
Like what?
Try to go to incarnationate by one-pointedness?
Yeah, but you won't get there. I mean, now you make a plan. And a plan is a program. The nice thing about the Buddhist practice, it is very simple. Now we sit in samadhi, we concentrate on the breath, and anything that comes into the mind at that time is the kilesas. So we know our enemy, or we get to know our enemy. Or, when we go in investigation, then there's the body, or there's a part of the body that we're going to investigate. Or, we investigate death, or we investigate birth, or we investigate the outside of the body, the inside of the body, or we look at our life very closely. Yeah? Going back 1 year and back 1 year and see the development, yeah, how we changed over time. Yeah? to see the factor of anicca. That there is nothing that is constant from today, 20 years ago. There's nothing that is the same. The body is not the same, our thoughts are not the same, the ideas are not the same, and the memory is not the same. Maybe the name is the same. Nah. That fools us, the name? Nah. That is the beauty about it. It's simple. So we do samadhi. Walking practice, we have four postures. Mostly we should use only three postures. Sitting, standing, walking. We can do in these three postures, we can do samadhi practice. So concentrate on one point, be it the breath or be it the Buddha. Or we can do investigation. That's our condition. It's so simple. And we know every time we know. We don't have to program it to do it. Because these kind of programs can come and trouble us in the later on. Because from 8 to 9 I have to do investigation. From 9 to 10 I have to do walking meditation. Yeah, that's also a program.
That's a program?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then if you do that for half a year, it sucks in, and then you can't do anything else. You sit from 8 to 9, and then you say 9 to 10 is walking, and then suddenly I have to go walking. It comes up, but actually you should be sitting there for 2 hours. You should be flexible. Conditioning is inflexible. Unconditioned is flexible. Being with whatever it is,
So how long should we walk for, sit for?
In the beginning, you should, until you can do it, 1 hour walking and 1 hour sitting, and then 1 hour walking. But if you like to walk, then walk for 2 hours or 3 hours, and then just sit for 1 hour. If you like sitting, then sit for 3 hours and walk for 1 hour. It's completely up to you. And not, I was specific about the time, not 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock walking. Doesn't work out.
You can see we are adjusting and trying to find new tricks. And new things, and all the time.
Of course we have to be a little bit creative when the tricks of the kilesas become unknown, Then we have to find out. Then we have to try it this way, try it that way. It's a trial and error, Or, balancing on a rope, One time we have to go a little bit to the left, one time to the right. That's why the Lord Buddha called it the Majjhima, the middle way of practice. Doesn't sound too much here, too much there. Just go the middle path. That's how you can do longer. If you say 10 o'clock sleeping time, then you will always go at 10 o'clock and sleep, You shouldn't. If you're not tired, you shouldn't sleep,
But I think it's useful if you are tired to not go to bed until later.
That's right.
But if you're not tired, I will not go to bed, I will stay for longer. That's okay, right?
Yeah. That is perfectly okay. A good practitioner doesn't go to bed when he's tired. He goes to bed when he's not tired. And you will instantly, because the body is tired, it will instantly fall asleep. You're not tired, The mind is not tired, but the body is tired. That is the difference, You always think you only have a concern about the body, The body is a car, It has nothing to do with the chitta. The chitta is tired, that's why it wants to rest, Doesn't need, The chitta can be awake or is always awake, 24 hours, When you fall asleep, then the chitta works and dreams this, dreams that, dreams that, la la. It's always, The chitta is falling asleep the moment we go into Upachara Samadhi. And really deep sleep, you know, when we go into Apana Samadhi. Yeah. Get yourself, you know, get yourself a treat. Yeah. Give yourself a treat. Yeah. Yeah. Go there. Okay? It's hard work. And we have to be ready, I mean the unconditional also being ready, you know, to apply whatever is appropriate in this moment. Yeah? That is what is actually needed, you know, when we really want to advance. To apply anything that is ready in the moment. When we see we do just do body investigation for 1 hour and we see we really don't like it, okay. We do it another hour. Yeah? Yeah. We see, whatever we don't like, you know, that is what is becoming interesting. Yeah? When there is pain, okay, let's go through it. Yeah? Just did another one. Yeah? Let's go tackle this. Yeah?
This morning I have been working 3 hours.
Mm, good. Yeah. Yeah. See, I mean, it is all the views we have about ourselves. I mean, I need to go to bed, you know, at this time. I can't walk 3 hours. We can do whatever we want. The citta, this citta is so unimaginable. If it really wants to do something, it can do it. But there's a voice in us and say, no, you can't do it. No, you can't do it. No, you can't do it. You check out this voice and you can do whatever you want. Huh? Okay, so